It's Animal Tales on My 103.3 with Randy Grimm and co-host Liz Tanz.
Yes, happy. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Rich, our engineer.
Rich really does have kids. I mean, like human kids. Randy has a bunch of kids, too.
Four-footed children.
And you were over at my house today.
Mm-hmm. And one of them brought you a special present.
Cool. Which one?
Itchy.
Oh, well, he peed on the toy. Itchy pees on all the toys because he wants them all to be his.
Yeah, he's kind of weird like that.
He lives in a house full of giants.
He's 2 inches off the ground.
And so he likes to think he's a big, big dog. So he sees all the toys and he's just like, my toy, left leg, pee, my toy, left leg, pee. And then Stephanie picks it up with her mouth.
That's why I'm glad I'm not a dog.
And plays with it. And I'm like, well, if she doesn't care, I don't care.
Yeah, there we go.
Our next guest is awesome. It's a woman by the name of Karen Dawn in an awesome book called Thinking the Monkey. And I think it'd only be appropriate if Liz gives her a proper introduction. So let's do that. Liz?
Okay. Karen Dawn is an activist, radio host, and writer whose opinion pieces have run in the LA Times and Washington Post, among other publications. Her daily e-newsletter, Dawn Watch, goes directly to more than 20,000 people.
I just signed up today.
You did?
I think I did. I hope I did it right.
She lives in LA, but she's here with us tonight via the phone to talk about her new book, Thanking the Monkey, Rethinking the Way We Treat Animals. Karen?
Karen?
Proper.
Oh, was that a proper intro?
I understand it.
Oh, you got such a proper voice. I love it.
Well, I'm an Aussie girl, so sometimes it comes out proper and sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, I like it. God, that's an awesome voice. This will be fun. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, so how do you say the word problem?
Problem?
Oh, you say it like that. See, a lot of my friends say problem.
Problem. That's kind of problem. British, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very British. You're not so stuffy.
Looking at my subscription list, looking to see if Randy actually did manage to sign up properly or not.
Did I do it properly? Liz will tell you that Randy is a little computer challenged.
And a little improper, too.
And improper.
Oops, did I say that out loud?
Wrong, fine.
Well, let's jump to your book. I got it right here in my hand. And why this title? It's a great title, but I
love the double entendre. But
yeah, so
I'm going to tell you about the title in a second. As soon as I have to tell you, Randy, I don't have you here. We're going to have to try again later.
Oh Lord, Liz will help me.
All right, good.
I'll help him.
So the title actually comes from a section in the book. The whole book is done in a kind of, Randy, you mentioned all the cartoons and everything. It's done in as accessible and as fun a manner as possible. And it's aimed at mostly like the target market. It was, originally the 18 to 35 celebrity-driven market, which is why it's full of celebrity quotes and photos and things. But it was also very much aimed at college kids. And so it's a little bit raunchy, a little naughty. A lot of the subject headings were like, we're talking about fur and do nice girls fake it, mm-hmm. This sort of typical way we're going clubbing when we're talking about the seal hunt. So there was one section which I hadn't come up with a fun title for because it was such a darn serious section, and it's about this monkey named Felix, who is being, it's in the Animals Anonymous section, which is about drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
And something I go into a lot in that section is that, while the biomedical community tries to represent sort of, what they do as, harmless tests on mice to cure cancer in kids, and that anybody who objects to medical testing, must like rats more than kids, a lot of the stuff I talk about in that chapter is just bizarre, crazy experiments, like, you know, who still wants nicotine tested on dogs, but we're still doing it.
Right.
Whereas there was this one section about this monkey named Felix where the area is a lot more gray, because Felix is being used in an experiment which some people, you could be perfectly compassionate and think that we should be using him in there because there's the, supposedly the possibility of curing diseases like, you know, multiple sclerosis in people. Now, I certainly question in that chapter, in that section, some of the claims that have been made by this experimenter. But I'm looking at, well, if we are going to be using somebody like Felix in it, what I think a lot of would surprise a lot of people is that at the end of the experiment, even though Felix has lived through it, yes, he's certainly had some rough months, but he's lived through the experience, and then at the end of it, he gets killed because he's no longer a pure experimental subject.
Hmm.
And that kind of flies in the face of this idea that animal testing is something we do as a last resort, and we care so much about these animals, but we have to use them. Well, in this case, why are we killing them at the end of the experiment?
It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't, and so, but it's something we rarely think about. So originally that section was called, you know, just when I was writing it in first draft, it was called Why Thank Them, Reward Them, thinking, you know, let's retire them to the lap of luxury with their whole families and thank them for their gift to our species.
Right.
And then when I was sort of like, you know, it was the last draft of the book finally, and I was thinking, all right, what can we call this? And it just came to me, thanking the monkey. It was so
that's perfect,
with the rest
though.
Of the
it's
book.
You know what, and it's perfect with the target audience too that
yeah.
you're
mm-hmm.
trying to hit. So it and you're a big fan of, I hear, of Paris Hilton and Britney Spears, am I right?
Do you know, I don't like to rag too hard on anybody, and I'm sure they
oh, come on.
Oh, come on, let it out. I do. About those two, I will. So.
You know, there was a. I think you probably saw that page six piece where it said
right.
I was raging against them in the book,
uh-huh.
and I think that's a bit rough. I have a bit of a go at them. I tease them for some of their, you know, public behaviors, which certainly don't bother me. But except the one public behavior that did bother me was that they both bought these dogs from pet stores. And it just sets a terrible example because, you know, people are just, thanks to people like Oprah, people are starting to know how bad pet stores are and where those dogs come from.
Right.
So we don't need Britney and Paris running around. You
well,
know,
we, yeah, and we certainly don't need them to be role models for
right.
Companion animals. That's for sure. So it's, you know what, I'm going to take a call real quick because I think it might be somebody you might know too and somebody that I respect very much. You know, I got on line one, Dr. Elliot Katz from In Defense of Animals. Dr. Katz. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
I want you to come on for two reasons. One was, Randy, I heard you got that, $1 million, and you still owe me $5. It's over.
Oh, I knew you were going to hit me up for that. It's like, gosh, I knew I should have answered the phone.
Dr. Katz, that money can only go toward the building of the new building.
Okay.
That'll go
I'll
to good
more,
use.
I'll be patient. Other thing is to remind you about an office for IDA in that building.
I'll do it.
I'm
going to
call
you
on that.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. Your audience heard you. The other, and of course, send my regards to Quentin. You know, two of my favorite people in the world.
Quentin's doing awesome. We were playing. He was playing in the yard today with all
yes,
the other
was.
Kids, and they were having a blast.
He was digging a hole, and
yeah.
my goodness, he
you
is
know
quite
what?
The digger.
I'm probably the only person in the world that's like, I go, hey, Liz, look, they've been working on this hole for 5 years. I don't care. I'm like, dig.
Yeah, two of his dogs, one of them, Quentin, is working furiously
at this
hole.
And most of them go, oh, don't dig. I'm just like, go ahead and dig. Because they seem to just...
Oh, they love it. They're so intense.
It's pretty soon I'll have to fucking put in a pool or something if they keep
well,
it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't mind.
We gave Randy a Guardian Award, and of course he brought out Quentin all the way out to the L.A. area. And beautiful, beautiful dog. And Randy did pretty well himself, too, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
I also the reason I called this particular time was I started reading Karen's book, and it just blew me away. The writing, Karen's writing, is absolutely amazing. It packages things so that people can understand what animal protection, animal rights is about, and does it in such a way that anybody, no matter where they're coming from, can really get a grasp on it. So I recommend that this book be given as a gift to anyone in the movement or anyone who cares deeply about animals, other people, because it will open their eyes in a very, very easy, accessible way. The book is brilliant.
It really is a book that you can give to someone that isn't animal rights.
Although what I will say though is it can be a tough read.
It's probably a tough read.
I was moved to tears more than once.
But it's a tough read for people that
care.
Don't know too.
Mm-hmm.
They've had blinders on for so long.
Right.
I thought somebody. By the way, Dr. Katz, thank you so much for that. And I think he knows. I think the world of their work in defense of animals as well, and say so in the book. I loved it when Veg News did a write up on the book and the author. It was a very fun write up, basically about what a drunk I am and how much I like to have fun.
But, oh God, when are you coming to St. Louis?
Yeah, really. We should have had you here in person. Gosh.
Okay. You guys do sound fun, I have to say. But at the end of the article, I thought it was so perfect. Elizabeth, she wrote, the journalist Elizabeth Castoria got in touch with both her manic and depressive sides while reading Thank You, the Monkey.
Well, that's a sign of a good book, that one that makes you laugh, makes you cry, and makes you think. And what Thank You, the Monkey
well,
has.
Well, Liz, and you said you were moved to tears, and I'm not surprised. I mean, there's certainly some parts which are just plain sad and some which are touchingly beautiful, but I hope you threw your head back and laughed a few times as well.
Oh, I did. I did. Yeah, the peritony, when you were combining Paris Hilton and Britney Spears' name, I thought that was very clever.
Randy, that was my favorite part, is the Paris and Britney stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I thought the picture of David Duchovny was pretty hot.
Well, because I met, this is true.
Oh, you're such a name dropper.
I know. I met him.
I live in Los Angeles.
I met him in L.A. I met him at a benefit, an animal benefit, Paris's mother.
Oh.
And after the benefit, she came,
admitted to it.
She came up to me and she said, "You mean there are homeless dogs in Los Angeles?" I was about, "Oh my God, woman, what are you doing here?" I was just amazed that she asked me that. I don't know if I answered her. I think I gave her the look of like, "Who are you?" And then someone said, "That's Paris Hilton's mom." I go, "Oh, that figures." And then I just walked away. But I was just like, "I don't believe this question. There's homeless animals in L.A.? Where do you get them?
Where do you
I
get
was
them?"
Like, oh,
that sounds like a Hilton kind of question. Where can I get one?
Hey, Carrie, hang on the line. We got to take a quick commercial break, okay? But you hang on the line.
Okay.
Because we still have more questions for you. And we want to talk more about the book. And guys, if you want to give a call, just give us a holler at 314-969-1033. Outside of the St. Louis area, 1-888-872-1033. You're listening to Animal Tales with Randy Grimm.
In order to sing, you have to know the words.
But I'm dancing in my chair. Yeah, Randy. Okay. We got Karen Dawn, the author of Thanking the Monkey. Awesome book. It's I don't know anymore what the politically correct terms are, or I don't even know what I'm most comfortable with saying. It's an animal rights book, but that sometimes turns the mainstream public off when you say that, and I don't want to do that.
Actually, the secondary title, Rethinking the Way We Treat Animals.
It's a book about rethinking the way we treat animals.
Yeah.
You had a couple of good questions for her.
Well, thank you. Actually, I have like 10, but,
I know. I see them, and they're good, too.
Karen?
Yeah?
One of the things is, I mean, you cover so many different topics in this book, from vegetarianism, veganism, animal testing, animal entertainment, the fur industry, factory farming. What is your hot button issue? What is it that totally, I'm sure all of these things get your blood boiling, but what's the one thing that will completely set you off?
Thing which got me into the movement. All of these things are astounding. But I was sent a blind mailing a couple of years ago, and it had pictures of sows in gestation crates. And these are crates in which breeding pigs live, and they spend their whole life in these little cages where they can't turn around, they can't lie down. They just are locked in place for their whole life.
Oh, my gosh.
And the first time I saw a photo, I thought, oh, please, this is, those animal rights loonies must have found one farm somewhere that does that, and they're trying to tell us that this is typical. But when I found out that actually this is how the majority of breeding sows in this country are kept, I was floored, and I think that was what spurred me into action and to wanting to commit my life to making some sort of difference, because it was just to me such an outrage and something which that, I mean, I had no idea, and I think I bet most of you, I mean, we know a little bit more than we did a few years ago, but I mm-hmm. still think most of your listeners wouldn't have any idea that is how a breeding sow lives her whole life.
Hey,
we
Karen,
all know
I
that pigs are smart.
I know. I got to tell you, I was at the HSUS conference, and I'm somebody that's been, you know, in animal welfare for a long time, and when I watched the film that they showed of the horrors that go on, I mean, I was sobbing, of course, and it's something you never get used to, and it's something that you realize, wow, we are just so horrible to the animals. And it would make, like, I've always... now,
and when you say we, I mean, it just takes a few people whose hearts are closed, who manage not to let themselves feel anything.
Yeah, they can go to bed and sleep fine and wake up in the morning.
And the rest of us, we just have our eyes closed. And that's what I'm trying to do with the book, is to open people's eyes. Like sometimes people are saying, do you want everybody to go vegan and whatever? And it's like, you know what? I want people to make their own educated choices as to what fits with their level of compassion. And there just aren't too many people
that was
who
one of my
yes, I want pigs kept in crates.
That was one of my personal questions. What if you're not always... like for me, I try really hard, and sometimes I'm, you know, is it more personal, you think? Like, or what am I trying to say here, Liz? Help me out, because we were talking about this at my house.
And I think it's you know, we're all in this industry aware, and yet sometimes it's harder than at other times to do all of the things. Like if someone did everything in your book and believed it, and you probably do, Karen, so you're the...
Yes
the,
and no, I'm a cheating vegan, and I don't like to be, you know...
Oh, you know what, though? Those are my kind of people,
all
those
right.
cheating vegans. I
and
love
I'm,
them.
And I, you know, I used to sort of say it with shame, and now I think it's important to say it loud. And when I say that, of course I tend to eat vegan, and it is my lifestyle. But, you know, as I say in the book, I'll actually order a veggie burger that I know isn't vegan, just because at this stage of the game, I want to do everything I can to make sure veggie burgers sell. But also, you know, that's with a good purpose. But I'll also order the Doritos sometimes if I'm dying for them. And when there is no, I can't justify that to myself. And Doritos are like, you know, to somebody who's not even veggie, they're like, how can you be worrying about Doritos?
Yeah,
so
I'm sitting
here
on Doritos as well.
I'm not worrying about these things. They've got, you know, milk and whey in them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you just do it. And the worst thing that can happen is if somebody says, oh, gosh, this is just too hard. I can't do it. I can't be, you know, strictly vegan. And so I'm just going to go out and order the bacon double cheeseburger. I mean, you do what you can do. And then some days are better than others. And I certainly didn't, you know, find out what happened to the animals and then go vegan overnight. I just sort of, you know, ate more and more healthfully. And
you cut back and cut
yeah,
back.
You just
and
that's what I did.
Exist.
I ate less and less meat, and I ordered the tofu when it was there. And when there is, I got over the, you know, a lot of people, I think, order the turkey burger because they think it's more healthy and less cruel than the
oh,
meat,
see, the way
they
treat
they
birds
no
is so bad. I mean,
right.
people don't even realize what they do, those poor chickens
the
and
birds,
turkeys. Oh,
the worst. They're not even, they're not even covered under the animal, the Slaughter Act.
No,
the
I can't even,
Slaughter
I can't even. Even
so you just, you know, you start making choices. Tonight we're going, after I finish our lovely radio interview, it's still light here, and we're going to go down to the beach and have a beer, and they serve veggie burgers. And it's like, you know, it's just not so hard to order the veggie burger instead of order the beef burger.
Especially if you have a beer with it.
And, you know, one of the things that I really like about your book is you're not afraid to kind of trample on some myths, like the myth of catch and release when you fish.
Oh, you know, people just don't even think about it, do they?
Well, you know, they should. That hook has to hurt.
It's got to hurt. You got it. I mean,
it has to hurt.
It's like, you swallow a hook and let me pull it out.
And that poor thing thought he was getting something good, too. Yeah. And all of a sudden, bam. Ah, well,
right.
He's getting a piercing. My
yeah,
Lord.
See, and you have a little cartoon in your book about that where I think the fish have planted landmines. Which is very
beautiful.
You've lit up the phone lines here, honey, so I'm going to take a couple calls. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm just going to say one little thing about that, though. I think, you know, something I'm pleased the book does is gets over that myth that fish don't feel pain. I mean, we all grew up with that, and that's just been so completely disproven. Mm-hmm.
And it has been. We had a guest once, remember, that proved that, like, it was a scientist, like ants feel pain. I mean, it was awesome. I forget everything now, but it was he had me convinced by the end of the show.
Karen does talk about that a lot. You know, about the even the bugs.
Yeah, they're cool.
Spiders. It's very fascinating.
Oh, yeah, I don't kill anything in my house. People are always like, what? I go, no, as long as it's... The only thing I might smack is a mosquito on my arm. That's because...
It hurts.
I'm going, ouch, at the same time. But let's go to line one. And we got Shirley. And Shirley, you're on the air on Animal Tales.
Hi, Brandy.
Oh, hey, sweetie. How are you?
Oh, fine. Karen Dawn is one of my favorite people.
I like this show.
Thank you.
I met you in Washington with Libby Williams a couple of years ago, but I've been signed up for Dawn Watch for years, and I just tell everybody about it. You know, you're not overwhelmed with Dawn Watch. One a day, maybe two, and you just can't miss the best thing that's happening for animals.
I'm a new fan, so...
Yeah. And we'll make sure you're registered correctly.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. Liz will go home and do it for me, I'm sure.
Yes, I will.
And Dawn, please, one of the things I look for every end of the year is your wrap-up of what has happened. And it's such a lifting of reading, you know, that we are making progress.
Yeah, because I think we all need to realize there's hope. Because there's some friends of mine that lost hope, and I can't, and they are like, Randy, how can you even care anymore? And I'm like, don't do that to me. I want to have hope.
You have to have hope.
And I'm trying to, who is it I'm talking to in the other line?
That's Shirley.
Shirley.
But thank you for your kind words. And what Shirley's talking about, you know, Dawn watches this sort of newsletter I put out on almost a daily basis where I talk about what's happening in the news. And
what's the website?
Dawnwatch.com. Dawn like sunrise, my last name.
Real simple.
Dawnwatch.com. And it's for animal advocates where they can learn what's going on in the news. And basically it's sort of formed the basis of the whole book because I've been doing all this research into animal news for about 8 years, and then that all went into the book. But what Shirley was talking about was at the end of the year, sort of just before Christmas, I sort of sent out a wrap-up of everything that's happened. And if you look at those wrap-ups from 8 years ago compared to now, we're just a different page. We've really reached a tipping point, at least with awareness about animal issues.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to take another caller. We got Karen. Karen, you're on line two on Animal Tales.
Hello.
Hi Karen.
Hi, Randy.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm fine.
Great.
I'd just like to make a comment that I love the program, first of all.
Oh, thanks.
And I definitely would love to get Karen's book. Animals have rights, and if we don't speak up for them, who can? And, you know, years ago I read a book by someone else who describes what happens to the animals that we as humans consume, and it's very sad. It made me cry, and I would love to get Karen's book and, you know, see what it's like. And
well, get two, because you're going to want to give one to somebody and keep one for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, I had my first veggie burger, I guess, when I lived in Monterey about 9 years ago. And
they've gotten so much better, too.
Thank heavens they've gotten so much better.
Man, they used to be like, okay.
Cardboard.
Yeah, I could go eat dirt in my yard. This is about the same.
But now they're good, thank heaven.
It does take time to make a transition. So, but anyway, I wanted to thank you, and I definitely look forward to getting your book.
Oh, thank you.
Karen, you know we love your calls. She's my favorite caller. I love Karen.
Okay. I love you guys.
Okay.
Well, and I think we want to let everybody know that Karen's book is available pretty much where any books are sold.
Yeah, I got a hunch it's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I hope
it's doing well. And Karen, your website is www.thankingthemonkey.com.
That's right. Like spanking with a lisp.
Yeah.
My producer's pointing his finger at me. He knows me too well.
He does that all the time.
You know
anyway.
How many times I have to bite my lip when I... You need to come here and we got to go out for some drinks and a veggie
really.
Burger.
Yeah,
I do.
Because I want, you know, I got about a minute to wrap this up and
Hey, you know what? Maybe we can ask, what would be one thing our listeners could do tomorrow that could make a difference?
You know, something that people don't know about is the dairy industry, and it's not just how incredibly cruel it is to the animals, and that's more than we can go into in 1 minute, but what it does to the environment is beyond belief. In Fresno in California, 1 in 5 kids carries an inhaler to school because it's the capital of the dairy industry.
Wow.
And soy lattes taste good. So when you're at Starbucks, get yourself a soy latte instead of a skim latte and put some soy milk in your fridge. It's good for you. It's good for the animals. And it's
okay, here's our challenge. Here's our Karen Dawn Animal Tales Challenge. Everybody tomorrow, if you go to Starbucks, soy lattes, no milk.
Then I can just see the news tomorrow.
I want
everybody
to promise me you'll do that. If you're listening, everybody do. So let's do one nice thing for these animals tomorrow.
Tomorrow the headlines will be Starbucks runs out of soy milk.
Well, I want to see
in
that.
In St. Louis.
I would love that. That would rock my world. Hey, I can't thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm going to promise you, I'll go to donwatch.com and make sure that I'm registered correctly.
And I've never been to Missouri, so I'm going to change that.
If you come down here for a book signing, we'll hook you up. We'll make it into a big fundraiser, and I'll get a lot of people out for that. So.
And will there be gin?
There will be gin. I can definitely guarantee if I'm there, there will be gin.
Hey, and when Randy throws anything, what's there?
You don't
full
drink
bar.
Gin.
A full bar. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to have to go to a commercial break. And I'm going to have to let you go because we have to do some announcements after this. But I hope we can have you back on the show.
I would love it. And now I'm off for my veggie burger and beer at the beach.
That's my
Enjoy.
Girl. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you so much. And guys, you're listening to Animal Tales on My 103.3. I want to live in life.